You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 39.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Hey, I'm so glad you could join us.
Today, we are talking to Donna Vincent, and Donna is from Solo Accounts. Tips to stay on top of your small business invoicing and expenses, and why this will save you money. Welcome, Donna.
Hi, how are you going?
Exceptionally well. Okay, so cash flow, invoicing, expenses is something we all don't like to think about. But of course, if we don't have any money running into our business, we just have a very expensive hobby. Would you like to give us some pointers in the right direction?
Under no illusion that this is everybody's least favourite job in running a business. And quite often, they can't see the value in keeping this up to date. They kind of think they could be using their time better making money in their business. By keeping up to date and on top of this, you can actually use the information to better run your business and make it more efficient. But the first thing I would suggest is to use a system that best fits your capabilities and your business. So if you're not experienced in bookkeeping and your business is only quite small, using a pencil and paper is fine. Probably not efficient given what technology can produce for you, but you have to understand what you're doing. So if you're spending a whole pile of time entering income and expenses and you don't understand the output, it is of no use to you. So find a system that suits you or get some training or get some help. So that's the first thing I would say. Secondly, understand what you're trying to achieve, because then you'll do it right and it takes away the fear of the consequences of not doing this work. What you want to do is get information that will help you understand the costs and the profitability in your business. You may have to use the information to get finances from a bank. You can use it to negotiate better prices or do some financial planning. And it does help you to manage your cash flow. Understanding that there are benefits helps. And also understanding that there are consequences if you don't do it. So if you're not invoicing people and you're not collecting your money, you might be missing out on being able to use that money to get discounted specials for your business. You could be being charged interest because you're having to use your own money in your business. You could be being charged late fees because you don't have the cash coming in, not because you're not getting business, because you're just not collecting your money. If you can understand that there are consequences for not keeping on top of this, you might change your mindset on actually doing the work.
Absolutely. And I think that's where people go wrong, isn't it? They get all excited, especially us creatives. They get all excited about doing the work and getting the results and everything. But then when it comes to money, it's that icky, irky subject that, we've got to send the invoices out. And I must admit, the first thing I outsourced in my business was to bring in a part-time bookkeeper. And she gets me right on task and says, right, you've done this work. Where's the invoice? Where have they paid? And keeping on top of it, it's much easier to chase people for money too. It's very difficult to go back and ask for money 6-12 months later, whereas if it's only a few weeks or a month overdue, it's much easier to get.
Yes, I think it's important for people to understand that sometimes your customers are waiting for a phone call to remind them that they're not paying it because they don't want to. They just get busy and they just need a reminder. Don't be embarrassed or intimidated about ringing your clients, because sometimes they want that phone call and it is easier to collect money closer to the time than, as you say, 6 months later. Be brave. You know, you don't want to do all that work for nothing. Make a phone call. And once again, if you're not the type of person that can do it, outsource it. Find a friend that has a very nice way of ringing people and asking for money.
Yes, definitely. I really like it when clients ask me for my invoicing, which doesn't happen quite as much these days because, like I say, my bookkeeper is on it. But it also helps their cash flow too. If they're expecting to have to pay your bill within that month and it doesn't come, then unfortunately people then spend the money and then the next month they don't actually have it. Definitely important to keep on top of it.
And one thing people think to do is to invoice immediately. Some people will leave it till the end of the month. So if you finish the work on the 2nd of the month and then you wait till the end of the month to invoice, you've lost 3 weeks of time. Invoice often rather than just at the end of the month, because your money will start coming through faster. That certainly helps your business. And another tip to me that seems extremely obvious, but isn't to a lot of people, is put the date you want to be paid on your invoice. Not 30 days, 7 days, put a date and start chasing from that date. And when you do things with a pattern and regularity, your customers get used to the way you want things done. And believe it or not, they start falling into line with your way of doing things, not their way of doing things. And so, so people are trainable.
Yes, definitely. And the other thing is that people sometimes think that they can't invoice until they've done the job. But, I mean, if we go to any of the major supermarkets, if you go out to dinner, anything like that, quite often you actually have to pay up front. If it's one of those sort of like a pub meal where you line up at the counter, you pay before you actually get that service. So I think that's a real mindset thing for small business people, that they can actually ask for their invoices and their money before they do the job in a lot of situations.
For sure, especially if you're having to pay out for materials up front, it's a good idea to try and get some money, or at least partway through the job, if not up front, but at least partway through the job. Don't be intimidated when you're dealing with bigger businesses. I do some bookkeeping for a company that deals with big mining companies and government departments, and we now do a lot of that invoicing up front, and they pay. So, people say, they won't pay for 60 or 90 days. Well, give it a go. I mean, you just don't know. If they value what you do, you would be surprised at when people will pay you.
And you've got nothing to lose, have you? If you ask for it up front and they don't and they fall back to their normal terms, you haven't actually lost anything, because that was what you were going to get anyway.
And also don't forget, big businesses go broke as well. Don't just believe that you're going to be paid because they're a big business. They go broke, and they go broke in a big way. Treat everybody with caution, decide what you can afford to lose if somebody doesn't pay you. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is the demise of a lot of small businesses, isn't it? They go for those big contracts which seem great and shiny and terrific, then paying for all their expenses and haven't been paid, never get paid, unfortunately sometimes mean their house or their livelihood.
That's right. If a deal sounds too good to be true, sometimes it is too good to be true.
Definitely. I think we really need to, as small businesses, trust our gut instinct. And sometimes we sort of say, it's okay. But yeah,
that's right.
The gut's normally right.
Yeah, sometimes it's the tortoise and the hare thing. Just slow and steady with people that pay you is far better.
Absolutely. So we're thinking about making sure that we're getting our invoices out so that they can then be paying us. What other things should we be looking at for cash flow?
I think that you need to be systemized in what you do. Have checklists so that you know you're covering all of your bases, and it also helps you to remember what to do, because quite often people are not doing bookkeeping type tasks all of the time. And be quite specific with it so that you don't have to think. You just sit down, you follow the steps, then it doesn't become so much of a chore. And then you make sure you're doing all of those things like sending out invoices and collecting money. Then use the information that you've got together. People get intimidated by the terms budgets and cash flows, but people are always trying to do things in complex ways. A little bit of information that you understand is far more useful to you than information that you don't understand and don't use. If you just need to write a list of who owes you money and when, and you tick it off when it's paid, fabulous. You don't need great reports. Your budget can just be write down the money you know you're going to spend in a year and what you think is going to come in. And that can be quite rough, but then break it down into months, because quite often you'll pay your insurance or registrations or different things only in a particular month. You don't pay them every month. If you get a lot of bills in 1 month, you may be stuck for cash. That gives you an idea then of when you're going to have to spend money. So then in turn, it gives you an idea of what money you have to bring in. Or if your income is steady, just understand that that extra money in the bank doesn't mean to say you can spend it. So if you can see the future, spreadsheets and technology are fabulous, but if a piece of paper gives you that information and it saves you bacon, it's fine to do things with the piece of paper. Talking to a person who has developed and uses technology all the time, but it's about understanding what you've done and making it useful. Extrapolate those numbers so that you know what you're paying every month. And this is like if you register for GST, of course, you'll probably have a BAS every 3 months. So that money has to go out. So know that those payments are coming in the future so you don't spend your money. And that is basically also your cash flow. It doesn't need to be tricky reports and confusing terminology. It can be quite simple, and then it's useful, and then it helps you with your business. You're not intimidated. You then start to do all of these things that big businesses do, but just on a more simplified level. And you'll be surprised how it can save and grow a business. And little things like checking regularly what you're paying out, you can quite often find that you're overpaying for something or you're paying for a subscription that you should have cancelled. You know, just little things that you don't have to cut costs, but you just have to be sensible with where your money's going. Yeah, try and use some reports and get somebody to give you a simple explanation on how these things work. Just explain to them that they need to talk to you on an eight-year-old level so that it's useful. Don't get confusing. And this is where sometimes you have the difference between maybe a bookkeeper and an accountant. An accountant may want to speak to you in accounting terminology and make it all smoke and mirrors so that they look really important, whereas you might be able to find a friendly bookkeeper that is prepared to explain things to you in a much simpler form. Hopefully your accountant will do that too. From my experience, they tend to talk over the top of people rather than a base level. It's really helpful to just have a little bit of knowledge, but explain to the person the level that you're at so it's useful to you.
Wonderful. So there's quite a few things that we can unpack there. I think GST is a major issue for small businesses because they see that money come in and sometimes it can be quite substantial, and then they actually forget that they need to be paying that to the government. So if they are doing it quarterly and it's coming at the beginning of the quarter, that can be sometimes quite a bit of money sitting in your bank account that you really do need to be careful not to spend that. So whether that's putting it into a separate bank account for GST purposes so you can't see it, that's really huge. I know a lot of people get stuck with that one. Definitely great. And your subscriptions, yeah, keeping track to make sure you're not paying ones you're not using anymore, or perhaps that it is something you're using monthly, whereas they offer a cheaper fee if you pay it by the year. So sometimes those fees can be quite substantial. Even if you're putting that money away monthly to pay, say, in November, because that's when that one becomes due, that's always a good thing there. Map out what you've got for the year and when the different things come in. It may be a case if you really want to buy that new subscription, but if you push it another month, it's not going to hit when your major insurances are due, or if you own your premises, your rates, or that kind of thing. That's wonderful. And I like the idea of starting with a pen and paper, because sometimes non-technical people, they jump into some of these big programs and go, oh my golly gosh, I don't know where to start.
It's funny because when I learnt to bookkeep, I learnt with a pen and paper. There were computers, but only big companies had those. We did do it with a pen and paper. And I still now, when I get a tricky situation with somebody's bookkeeping, I go back to pen and paper, get it clear in my head, and then go and use the accounting package to make it do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. And I think that's sometimes to do with the way that we learn as well. Some people like to see it all mapped out, and it may be a case of they actually need to draw a few pictures to make it relevant to themselves. There's definitely a use still for the old pen and paper, and then, like you say, you can convert it over onto the software.
Yeah, and some tasks you can use technology for, and it works really well, and there are other things that don't. So it is okay to do a mix of things. You don't have to do it all online and all with software. You know, you can mix and match and work with what works for you, but just keep on top of things rather than ignoring things, because the longer you leave things go, the bigger mess you're in, and then you feel out of control. You start making poor decisions because you're not making decisions based on fact. You're just going, oh, look, I've got money in the bank and yeah, I can afford that. And that's where businesses collapse because they just lose control. It is worth that bit of time taken to keep on top of your paperwork. Lose the fear and the anxiety of just being in no man's land, and you'll be surprised at how much better you feel when all of this is under control.
Totally. And I think the other thing that people think is that they need to buy the biggest and latest accounting software, and quite often, depending on where they're at, if they're a small sole trader that doesn't have employees, then they don't really need that huge big software and the expense that goes with that, particularly now that they've gone to a lot of monthly reoccurring subscriptions on the software. Yeah, something smaller quite often will be where they need, and then if they do become an employer down the track, then they can branch into a slightly bigger system later on.
I think what people need to understand when they buy a bookkeeping package, what always amuses me is you go onto social media and somebody says, well, what accounting package do you recommend? And I feel like saying, do you get online and say, what car should I buy? Because there's more to it than that. You know, yes. It's about what your business does, what your needs are, you know, lots of things. But I would recommend, if your business needs that sophisticated accounting package, get someone to set it up for you and train you in your business on that software. So don't just do your generic product training. Get someone to show you how to use it with your business, because bookkeeping is quite repetitive. So if you write down the steps, 99% of it you can do yourself. Have a phone a friend for when you get that odd one that you don't know how to do. You don't necessarily need to use sophisticated software. And my rule of thumb is, if you're using that software, if you can't undo something that you did and know what's happening, then you probably shouldn't be using it, because you can press a lot of buttons on those machines and you don't understand the consequences of what you're doing. Look into it a little bit deeper and maybe just gain a little bit more knowledge, or realise that you don't need that level of sophistication and go for something simpler. That's why I developed the software I developed. But you can also, like I said, use a piece of paper, use a spreadsheet. Technology tends to do things a little bit faster, and it'll do a lot of things that instead of you having to do them manually, they'll do it. So just sorting. So you can enter, but technology will sort for you. Technology will do reports for you. You know, lots of extra things. You can access it from anywhere and those sorts of things. Yes, keep it simple, but also compare manual to technology just for those other benefits.
And I think that's really important to actually understand your software. And like you say, if you've got it all mapped out, then you can confidently give it to a bookkeeper, because, like, of course, with any industry, there's bookkeepers and there's bookkeepers. So you need to still have a little bit of control and understanding of what's going on. And also, you mentioned about the proprietary software. If you're wanting to get certain reports or certain information that may help you make decisions on your buying or your suppliers and that sort of thing, having it set up for your specific business is definitely money worth spent, and will probably save you quite a bit of money down the track.
When I start bookkeeping with people, I do it in reverse. I ask, you know, what information do you want to get out of this system? And sometimes it is a matter of putting in keywords or a code as you go along. So it's no extra work. Having given some thought to the output, you just do it as you go through. Like, keep things simple. Keep your thinking simple. Don't make it overcomplicated. If you know that you're going to want to know if, so there are three things you do in your business. If you want to know the sales value of those three different items, then they have to be coded differently or input differently. But that can be very valuable information. So instead of just having one sales category, if you've got three sales categories, you can then start to analyze your business. Then you're breaking down your expenses. You're looking at expenses that are directly related to income. So you know that if you've got no income coming in, you probably won't have those expenses, but then you've got those fixed expenses that are going to come through the door whether you're selling something or not. So it's important to understand what they are as well. As I keep saying, it doesn't have to be complicated, but it can be really useful information.
Yeah, definitely, because if you're looking at those cost of sales as opposed to your fixed expenses, you can say, okay, for this particular month, I need, add your zeros, I need $10, $100, $1,000, whatever, to keep your business running regardless of sales are coming in. And then you've got those other expenses that are sales related So you've basically got to, if we just use $1,000 for instance, you've basically got to bring in that $1,000 before you can make any sales. So your sales need to be your fixed costs plus your cost of sales plus your profit on top of theirs. So you've got a fair idea of what you should be bringing in, and then looking at, okay, whether you're the salesperson or you have employed salespeople, what they need to be looking at it for a quota each month.
And the thing to remember is you have to be looking at it regularly. It's no good looking at this after the accountant's done your tax return, because then the information is useless, because your situation has changed and by this time you could have gone broke. So you need to look at it, you know, it may be monthly, it may be every 3 months, depending on the size of your business. Because if you're a one-man band, you've got a fair idea of what's going on in your business anyway.
Well, but it's nice.
But it's actually sometimes it's nice to see it written down, because sometimes you get it stuck in your head that things are a certain way. But when you see it, the numbers in front of you, it's different. And sometimes it's a nice surprise. It's not saying it's always bad news. You know, you might just go, wow, that's fabulous. I'm doing really well. Or, gee, I'm really not charging people enough money to be making a profit out of this. Numbers don't lie, but you have to produce the numbers to get the information. I think it's important that you make time to do this. It's a bit like having an appointment with a customer. You have to pencil in time and do it. When it becomes part of your regular practice and habits, you know, make it a habit forming, you'll be surprised at how valuable and useful, and then once again, unintimidating the whole process becomes, because, you know, you're doing it regularly, you're seeing that it's useful information. And I must say, I had a lady who started using my app because she wasn't doing anything because it was all too hard. So she started using it and she rang me one day and she was really excited and she goes, oh, I've just got a discount off one of my suppliers, because I could go to them and say, you know, I buy X amount of dollars from you every month. You know, you should be giving me a bigger discount. And she said, you know, if I didn't go to them, they wouldn't have known what I was spending. And I went, well, they know what you're spending because they've got records as well, but they're waiting for you to use that information and ask for a discount. And, you know, and they know you're a valued customer. They wanted to keep, they knew she was great. So she got this extra discount. If she didn't have record, she would have never gone back and asked for it. It's really exciting when people can start to use the numbers to make their business grow and make more money.
Yeah, well, it gives them power, doesn't it? Because it gives them that option to make decisions, and it may be exactly what we're talking about before with your subscriptions or your suppliers. You might find that you've got two suppliers supplying similar products, but one you've gone to and you've got the discount and the other one said, oh, no, you're not big enough, or we don't do that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then you can think, okay, well, maybe I should be getting it all from the one supplier, or maybe I should be looking for a different supplier. Mm-hmm. So having that information, as they say, knowledge is power, having that information, then you can make some decisions.
Yeah, and also look at the long term. You know, at some point in time, you might want to sell your business or bring in a partner or anything like that, or as I said before, get a loan. So if you've got good records that, you know, show that your business is profitable, you know, it can be really handy when you get down the track. You know, you may value your business much higher because you can show that you've had these really good profits for a long time and regular money's coming in. And don't think of it as a chore all the time. Think of it as something that can help your business. I can't strongly enough, you know, say this to people, and I get that people hate it and they think it's time wasting, but you really just have to change your mindset and give it a go for 3 or 4 months doing it regularly and just seeing that it becomes easier and more useful.
Definitely. And then it also gives you the option to think of, if you do want to become an employer down the track, you can see where the money's coming in and what that person that you may be looking at employing needs to generate. So you can think of what their wages are going to be, super and workers' comp and all those kind of things, and whether it's actually worth doing that or whether it's worth getting a contractor or a part-time or full-time. It gives you all that information. Again, knowledge is power.
And also if you go to outsource, so if you've started your business and you've started doing basic bookkeeping yourself on a very simple level, when your business grows and you need to outsource to a professional bookkeeper, you then can start to spot who are good bookkeepers and who aren't, because when they give you information back, you roughly know what it's supposed to look like. And if they're not giving you back the stuff, you've got that gut instinct going, no, I know that that's not supposed to be like that. You then keep control over that outsourced task as well. And then when they start giving you more sophisticated reports, you begin to understand those and be able to use those, you know, that really does make a difference to the growth of your business.
Perfect. So that's a knowledge building as well, because you've started relatively small, and then as they've explained it, you can see where you need to go. And then that also could be a decision about your product line. I started my business before the internet, so we used to do a lot of printing, and then the internet came along and websites and that sort of thing. So then we had to put in more cost codes and go, okay, is it worth us still doing printing? For a little while it wasn't, but now it's come back again because we're all tactile and we like things to hang on to. It can be a great source of information for what product works and what doesn't. And as we know, things are changing so quickly that sometimes those products that you've been stocking or making for years and years are no longer the ones that you need to be doing. Like paper receipt books are a thing of the past now. So now we have apps, website programs and so forth can help you along those kind of lines.
And you can do things two ways too, because I still know there are a lot of people, I don't want to be specific here, but say at tradies, who will handwrite invoices. Don't have a problem with that, because if you're invoicing on the spot and you're being paid and that happens because you handwrite an invoice, don't have a problem with that at all. That has to be entered into a system later. Do what brings the money in. I don't have a problem mixing and matching, as I've said several times. Yeah, for sure.
At the end of the day, just get the money in for the services you've done and make sure you're keeping records and tracking it.
That's right.
Lovely. Okay. So is there any other points that we should be looking at to make sure that our invoices and our expenses that we're on top of them?
Just do it regularly. Get a bit of help and a bit of knowledge. It makes such a difference. So one of the things that you should know is that not everybody is allowed to charge your GST. And there's a really easy way to check that. You are actually obligated to check it, because you shouldn't pay GST if people shouldn't charge you. If you go to ABN Lookup, there's just a little box in there. You put the ABN in and it comes up with a screen and it tells you if that person is actually registered for GST. And if they're not, don't pay the GST. Ask them to re-invoice you without the GST. Now, people don't always do it to be dishonest. A lot of people just don't know or are confused. And I'm talking some pretty professional people here that I was registered, I'm not registered. Just check, because you could be saving yourself 10% on every invoice that you have to pay. And when you're a small business, that can add up.
Definitely. And when you go to ABN Lookup, if you just put in the company name or the business name.
You could also do it that way as well.
Yeah, because they don't always have ABNs, of course, on their invoices, especially if they're not registered.
And people use false ABNs or somebody else's ABN. So have a look down the page. It also gives you trading names a little bit further down the page. Yeah, don't get excited because it's in the wrong name. Just have a bit of a look. But, yeah, it can save you thousands and thousands of dollars a year. So think how long it takes you to earn that. And just by having a quick check on a website, you're saving yourself some money.
That is a absolute gold tip that people wouldn't always think about. Excellent. Thanks, Dawn.
No worries. The other discussion that people should have with an expert is whether they should be registered for GST or not. It does my head in when I see people going, oh, I'm getting close to $75,000. I'm not going to invoice anymore because I don't want to go over the threshold. Who doesn't want to earn money? Don't look at being registered for GST as a bad thing. I think this comes back to bookkeeping. They think I won't be able to do the bookkeeping. There's simple ways out there to track your GST. So if you're working business to business, you probably should almost always be registered for GST, because another business can claim it back, so it's not a big deal. But then you can claim that GST, 100% of the GST back, because you're registered for GST. So if you have goods, necessarily a service, but if you have lots of goods and lots of costs, it just can make such a difference to your business being registered for GST. So there are a couple of times when it probably doesn't help. So if you're working in a domestic situation all the time and 10% more may lose you your customers, you may want to look at not being registered for GST if your income's not too high. Or if you're a service type person and you don't have a lot of costs, it may not be a benefit to you. Sit down and do the exercise with someone. It can be thousands and thousands of dollars benefit to you being registered for GST. You know, there are a few things you have to take into consideration. Like if you have to outsource the compliance side with it, you may break even and it's not worth it to you, but do the exercise. Talk to somebody, work through the exercise, and you might find out it's a great way to save yourself lots of money.
It's also perception. So if you are doing that business to business, if you don't have GST, they're immediately categorising you in that small home hobby style business. Whereas if you are looking at building your business into, inverted commas, a real business, being registered for GST will take that stigma away immediately.
And that is also why I developed the software that I did, was people that are quite simple businesses can have the benefit of claiming GST. Of course, you know, all accounting software does it. You know, once again, get somebody to help you set it up and teach you how to do it, because the benefits of claiming back 100% of your GST can be thousands and thousands of dollars.
Definitely. And sometimes even it can be that the government, the ATO, then actually has to pay you because you've claimed more GST than you've actually brought in. So sometimes it can actually be a nice little bit in your pocket as well.
Yeah, particularly in the world of international business. I mean, you're not charging out GST on your overseas customers, yet you can claim back the GST on all of your expenses that you've had within Australia. Sometimes, yeah, you're getting a refund every 3 months, and that's really nice.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so you've mentioned that you have an app. Would you like to tell us about your app?
Okay, I found as a bookkeeper, the people that quite often needed a lot of help were sole traders. They either don't or can't afford a professional bookkeeper, or, you know, they feel they've only got an hour or two a month and can't give that to a bookkeeper, or a bookkeeper doesn't want a client that is an hour or two a month. You know, I knew that a accounting software, which is exceptionally clever and useful, was just too sophisticated and over-engineered for most of those people. I just developed a really easy system called Solo Accounts, because it's designed for the solo business person to use. And yeah, so it's just a much easier way to use it. Pretty much no training involved. You can just pick it up and start using it. I've got a few users who get their kids to do their data entry because it is so easy. But I did find that bit of extra help was useful for some people. So I have done a training course that goes with it, but you don't have to do it. The training course is more about the stuff we've talked about today, that every day helping you run your business and your bookkeeping, you know, how to collect your money, conversations to have to collect your money. And it's a really broad range. But so there's a course outline there, so you can look and see if it's useful to you. If it's not useful, of course, you don't do it. But yeah, it's just that bit of extra assistance. There's my phone number there. So if you get stuck, you can ring me.
Perfect. Okay, so we will put that in the show notes. Now we're up to our final five. So I ask all my guests five final questions. So Donna, are you game?
I am.
The best advice given to you by a mentor?
So I would say that is to have more than one income stream, particularly when you're starting out. You might have a great idea and think you're going to sell it to the world, and all of a sudden things don't happen as clear as you would like. So if you've got those two income streams, you know, one can be carrying you while the other one is building.
Fabulous. We actually did episode 35 with Audrey, and she was talking about three income streams.
Right.
Just to make sure that you ride out any fluctuations. The listeners would like to look at that one. That's Small Business Talk episode 35 on income streams. What is the biggest help that you have received since starting your business?
This one I would say would be, of course, referrals. They always help in business. But I think emotional support that you can get from people. While people network and think that, you know, they're trying to get more business, sometimes that type of networking that gives you emotional support, you know, just that people saying, yeah, we know it's tough for everybody. And maybe you could try this or whatever. But it's just that knowing you're not alone. I think, particularly if you are a one-man business, find some people that are there to, you know, just give you a bit of emotional support.
Definitely. And I think that sometimes those relationships building in that way can really help build your business, even when you're not realising it. Once people get to know what you're all about and your core values, then they're definitely more happy to refer you. So sometimes it's a win-win-win. So
perfect. Yeah, for sure.
What is the one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
Clean the teeth. And laugh. Clean my teeth and laugh. I don't really have some, you know, I'm not one of these really structured people and I, you know, go by the diary. It's just I don't kind of have any real serious ones.
I think they're both exceptionally serious, so well done you. What is your favourite business book and why?
So my favourite business book, most people wouldn't call a business book. but it is actually a Dr. Seuss book, and it's called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And it's all about the ups and downs in life. Quite often when I'm having a bit of a tough time, I get it out and read it and realise that it's just life. Everybody goes through it. It happens in life. It happens in business. And it's just a nice lighthearted way of having a read and getting a boost and realising that it's just the way things are. And you can read it from front to back really quickly.
That's great. It's interesting that a lot of our female guests actually cite their favourite business book as non-business books, because that's the way we think, isn't it? We put our family lives and our business lives and our personal lives and everything all into one. It's very true. Okay, and number five is, what do you wish you had known when you started your business?
Maybe more an emphasis on, like you just mentioned, that you have to develop relationships. You can't just build it and they will come. It's about getting out there and getting people to understand why you do what you do and what you're passionate about and your intent behind your business. Because let's face it, we're all working to earn money, but sometimes when you're doing something with passion, people get that and they go, yeah, that's the person I want to deal with. Be prepared to have to spend time with people to build your business. You can't be reliant on anybody else to grow your business. You know, it's your business and you have to be at the forefront of it. So don't be thinking that somebody else is going to do that hard slog. You have to do it and you have to build those relationships. Factor in time for that.
Yes, and I think that's sometimes where small businesses get stuck, isn't it? They're spending so much time working in the business, they forget that they need to work on the business, and then suddenly the leads dry up and that the money starts to dissipate and they think, well, how did that happen? Why is the world hating me? But it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not. They just needed to plan in some networking or some relationship building or even just some marketing to let people know of what they are selling and how they can help.
And I think that marketing thing is a big thing. I know when I started looking at my app, you know, I budgeted all sorts of money for different development and probably didn't put enough money aside initially for the marketing of it. And I guess I didn't understand marketing. I didn't understand the significance of marketing in a business, because I'd always worked for people, either, you know, as a contractor or employee, and hadn't actually run the business myself. So didn't kind of see that little small thing called mark that was really important. So, you know, if you don't have big bucks to spend, I mean, you seriously have to think about having money for marketing. But if you don't have lots of money, market yourself, get out there and just see where that can lead from you, because people like you and like how you work and, yeah, your passion. So
absolutely, and real sales. So being authentic and being you is what will attract people. And like you said before about the passion and being in your flow, then the money will come. But you actually have to go out there and ask for it. If people don't know you're there, then they can't buy your products and services.
Yeah.
Excellent, Donna. This has been a really great chat. So is there anything you would like to let our audience know just on closing?
Oh, no, I think we've covered quite a lot and, it's been fun.
Perfect. So where would you like them to find you?
Solo Accounts with an S, soloaccount.com.au. Lots of information on the website. And if you just want to have a chat to see what's suitable for you, I'm really happy to talk to people, because I'm never going to recommend my product if it's not suitable for you. If you just want to have a quick chat, yeah, happy to talk to you. And if I don't answer the phone straight away, I always ring people back.
Wonderful. That can be another trap that people fall into, isn't it? They don't do their follow-up. So we'll drop all of that in the show notes. Once again, thank you very much, Donna. I'm sure our SBT community will get great value out of this interview.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right. See ya.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. and SBT community, enjoy your journey.